views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
To Light on Living, I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. When we hear that someone is professionally trained, it seems to instill some sort of confidence in them from us, some assurance that they can get the job done and done well at that. Being trained in something doesn't sound so bad, right? Well, when I think about being trained, what goes through my mind is work. Rules, uncomfortable relearning, repetitive action steps to create new muscle memory, and the worst ever possible failure. Well, most of us know that the end result is worth it. That's why we do take on being trained, and some of us even like it so much that we decide to train others. But couldn't there be a more interesting, fun, and different way to be trained? A way that piques at everyone's interest, a way of thinking or even being about training that's outside of the box. Well, today we have a well-seasoned, well-established, and proven trainer himself who has been using out-of-the-box ways to help so many receive the training they need and want in a unique, reliable way. I want to welcome a fellow OM Times radio show host himself, a speaker, trainer, teacher, and synergetic catalyst. He brings people into sync with who they are and the synergy of their own unique self. Now, before I bring on Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, I'm excited to share a bit about him. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery is sought-after leader, innovator, author, teacher, synergetic catalyst, speaker, and an expert in the HDD-HD field. He has worked for such companies as American Express, Dartmouth College, Hilton, and Sheraton. And in the 80s, he was a driving force in the creation for implementation of training programs in banking, retail, food, and financial service industries. Dr. Kevin's work in both the professional and personal development fields, love the personal development, as well as the corporate and small business and entrepreneurial fields has given him a wide platform to work from. In his work as a synergetic catalyst, he helps that business owner maximize their potential as well as their team's and their business's potential. Synergizing your team is his way of allowing your business to be greater than the sum of its parts. That is one of my favorite things in there. And as Dr. Kevin continues to speak and teach throughout the U.S. and Europe, he has several books out. And for 3 years, he hosted his own radio show called Outside the Box with Dr. Kevin. So as a highly intuitive, insightful, yet practical approach to problems, whether they be professional, personal, or business, he looks at the whole life and takes people and everything they're associated with on a journey to greatness. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Kevin.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me. How are you today?
I am just doing wonderful. I am looking forward to this call with you so much because training is like, it's just like something we do every day for some reason or other. And I'm really excited to hear your out-of-the-box thinking. This is already putting me outside of the box trying to think of them.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm just going to start with just a tiny little bit of history, which is I started working actually in banking when I was 15. And wow. It's very funny because I just started by filing checks. I was in high school. I actually graduated high school early to take a full-time position at the bank and proceeded to start college early as well. In that day, now we're talking the 70s. We're talking about the late 70s. And basically, I was stuck with people who, you know, knew what they did, how they did, how they chose to do it in order to get the results that was wanted. Now, it wasn't always the most efficient way. It wasn't always the most practical way, but it was just the way it was done. Mm-hmm. And I, who am a, you know, a very kinesthetic guy. I admit to the world, I'm an ADD, ADHD poster child. So therefore, in my...
Could you explain, in case people are missing what that is? What is that for everybody to hear this?
Well, ADD and ADHD is a label that's been given that means attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And in fact, I have, I think, 5 books out on it now, that particular field. And it is, we used to call them type A personalities. We used to call them absent-minded professors. We used to call them dreamers. These were people that acted and thought and learned differently and saw the world a little differently. And they've been around for a while, but they really became in larger and larger groups. And the more broken our education system became, the more these individuals did not fit in. You know, and so now we have an education system which has brought a whole new set of heights to assembly line teaching, just get them on the conveyor belt and get them off. We just want them to pass the test. We don't care if they know the information. We don't care if they apply the knowledge. We don't care what they do with it. We just have to have some box checker check a box beside them, and, you know, and we just push them through, and then now they're college's problems, or they're the corporate world's problems, because child-centered learning is long gone in this country. So, but back to, so in, I shifted banks in 79, and I went from a regional bank to a downtown Boston bank. And I went in, and here I am. I'm in college. I'm 19 years old, trying to get my degree in business and psychology. And I go into in an entry-level management position. And one of the things was, is I was just, there are no systems. There were just no systems on training. And that led me to create the first teller training system for a downtown Boston bank in 1979. And at that point, people thought training departments were a waste of money. They didn't want to invest in them. So my love affair with training goes way back.
I love that, the love affair with training.
Well, you know, the thing is, because somebody can do something doesn't mean somebody can train in it. And that's a big misnomer. Because somebody is good at something doesn't mean that they understand it to the point that they know how to explain it. That's a skill set and a gift all of its own. And one of the probably greatest drawbacks in training is this idea that we can create a single learning system that's all about just like we learned in school, which is what we call the vomit system, what I call the vomit system of learning. You shove it down their throat. If they throw it up in the right order, then you pat them on the head, kick them in the backside, and move them forward. We do that to our kids. And the corporate America has oftentimes adopted that kind of approach for its training. Well, we'll just put it all in a manual. We'll just put it all in a we'll just write it all down. And we'll have everybody read it. And then they need to learn it. Well, first of all, not everybody learns by reading. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you can't possibly teach somebody every possibility. I mean, I went on in my 20s and created several training systems for several different companies, including management level training systems. And, you know, the thing I had to keep on coming back to is the key to good training is teaching people critical thinking skills. Mm. How do you think in the way in which that job, that position, that company, that industry need you to think in order to successfully achieve your goal.
The fact that you said critical thinking.
Go ahead.
Like that. That is the critical thinking skills, which you just helped to explain what that is. I find that now the way you had said that, my brain is going, okay, wait, critical thinking skills is how that company or that end result is they expect and they need you to think of that way to complete this task. And so is it kind of, now I'm trying to think outside of the box. So is it a neat way of coming from looking at the end result, like the desired result that we want, and then coming at it backwards?
Well, you can do that. And then, you know, one of the things, you know, I have several bios floating out there because I've had my own business for 27 years now. And I have books in a number of different fields, including spirituality and stuff like that. So, or else I wouldn't be on Own Times. One of the things is that when we are, when we look at an end result, we have to also understand what were the decisions that created that end result. So here's an example. So if you can explain to somebody, these are what the priorities are that have to be achieved, and here is the level of way you should consider the priorities. Now, most companies are going to say, well, the first priority is, you know, what they should be saying, even if they're lying. The first priority should always be safety. Is safety an issue? Mm-hmm. Is somebody's physical health or life going to be at risk in a decision you're making? Now, you'd be amazed. And now remember, I worked in the food and beverage industry. I worked in restaurants. You have ways in that field.
Oh, we are going to scooch back with the safety right after this commercial break.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we're back with Dr. Kevin. And just before, those commercials sneak up, I tell you. And we're talking about training. And you left us where, you know, the first question, which they should be looking at, you know, is what the safety, outcome, the safety of others, and during this. And funny, you should talk about safety being the first thing. That's one of my biggest things is safety and comfort. And I would never thought about that when I'm thinking about training and how, you know, wait a second, is this safe to do it this way? And what, how will this turn out? So I'll let you continue from there. Thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things is that, we'd like to assume, and that's always a trouble word, we'd like to assume that most people would have a compassion and a connection enough to the human element of where they work, if they're a decision maker or they're trying to learn how to do something, that safety would be first. But a lot of times, and I think that this has gotten actually more of an issue as time has gone on, and we have more and more violence that's exposed in, you know, movies, video games, alternative reality, role-playing stuff, that sometimes people, especially a younger person, sometimes really doesn't know what safety means.
Oh, that's so
true. They have there's an out of touch with what reality is because their life has been surrounded with things that are actually not real. So you want to say and say, okay, well, so if the safety needs are met, well, then, but this is like, again, you have to look at, say, what is most important? Is this company's most important that their branding is always met? Is it more important to be short-staffed to send somebody home if they're not wearing the branded shirt that's behind the counter? Is it better off that you send them home and make them come back? Or is it more important that the food gets out on time if it's a restaurant? And so, yes, you may write an employee up for not having a dress shirt, but you're still going to let them work because if you don't, you're going to be short-staffed. And then people's times are not good. But you have to really understand, and a lot of times, especially on multi-level companies, first line, second line, third line, even midline managers don't know what the priorities of the company are. Those priorities have long got lost.
I want to just pop into there. You know, that I can't even believe how so current that is right there. My sister was just in school for a certain thing. And then, you know, you get to that part where you get to go, you know, take what you've learned and then go to co-op, let's say. And you're right. She had to wear a certain kind of style of uniform or whatnot and branding. And one day just it didn't happen. There was an issue. She couldn't. And she absolutely was sent home because, and you know what they were? They were now short staffed. She lost hours. They lost the help. And that priority there was for the branding as opposed to, so that really hit home when you said that. That's very real for me, very tangible.
And so, you know, so again, it's understanding, first of all, what is the company trying to express to its consumer, to its client, to its board of directors? Now, if it's a small company, the entrepreneur, oftentimes if I'm going in and I'm working with an entrepreneur, and I work with a lot of ADD and ADHD entrepreneurs because people with ADD and ADHD are 400% times more likely to become an entrepreneur than people without it. Because it's a really good matchup of skill sets.
Okay.
But then the question, so the first question is, what are the priorities? What are the critical thinking? What is the language of the training? How important is the language? Sometimes I have seen a CEO of a company get completely enraged because one word was used instead of another.
Oh,
did it really make that much difference? Did it communicate something different? But for that CEO, the word sounded different. It didn't sound to that CEO, who was from a foreign country, like it communicated the essence and the energy and the value of the company. On the other hand, that same CEO could let something completely sloppy go by because they didn't notice it.
Right. Right. Okay.
Oftentimes, you know, if a company, small or large, a one-person operation or something bigger, wants me to come in, I have to start at the top and say, tell me your vision. Tell me what's important. Tell me what you want to believe is happening in your company, in your organization. Tell me what you think people are saying about you, and tell me what you want people to be saying about you. because all of that should be part of training, and companies don't realize that. You know, now there are some companies. Go ahead.
When I was reading about you, how we talk about you look at the whole, like them as a whole. Now I see what you're saying. This kind of goes back to like the whole story. Like, tell me the whole story so we can incorporate all of your needs and visions.
Yep. And then, so once you get everybody on the same sheet of music about what is priorities, and companies are famous, small and large, professional organizations, this can be lawyers, this can be social service, this can be government and state. They have a talk, but they don't walk it. Mm-hmm. There is an inconsistency between what they say they want, between what they preach, between what their branding is, between what there is written in their manuals, and what is actually rewarded and supported in real life. And this is another big issue people make in training, which is don't create an ideology which is unachievable. Do not set your people up for failure. If you as a company are out of integrity with your actions and your highfalutin words of what the actions are supposed to be, I've had some pretty high level people at times that I've made to go do a simple task that sounds fine on paper, and if you do it in reality, it's all bollocks. But it sounds so good.
I love that you said that, on paper versus reality. And I think that's taking those two things you just said, so not setting people up for failure and seeing what's on paper versus reality, that actually comes with experience too, does it? Or just you got to brainstorm and get it on paper and then you have that reality?
Well, you know, it depends on whether I'm setting up a training program or I am fixing a training program, which one I would be doing personally. I know that we'll be going to break in a minute or two, so I'm going to start a whole another section of training stuff when we start the next one. But, part of it is to, first of all, make sure that your training manual or your training department or your training stuff that you have has not become Frankenstein's monster. That it may have started when your business was simpler, when your business was easier, when there maybe were not so many rules or regulations. Maybe laws have passed. Mm-hmm. Maybe something has changed in the marketplace. You may be using a manual that was created 20 years ago, and the world is not the same world. And all that's happened is something's been scratched out and something's been written in, something's been cut and paste. You get a pretty new page and it looks good. But if you look closely, it's stitched together like Frankenstein's monster.
No. You know, that's a good thing to review as well. What is still working? What has changed?
What is good? What is working? What has changed? If anybody is really a training expert, they also, in my view of the world, have to be really good at systems and understanding organizational flow and understanding the big picture and being willing to understand the details. Because you have to have both. Sometimes you can find that in the same person. Sometimes you have to pair people up where one is your detail person and one is your big vision, your big picture person. Because if you don't have somebody that can shift from one to the other, and I actually train in a number of different modalities. I actually train in alternative healing modalities and work as a teacher and trainer for, everything from what I've done in the corporate world to, I now teach, I also teach classes like psychic development and, the Wei Qi system of natural healing. And that teaching is also a teaching training, and it's a training. And, so when I talk about this stuff, both of these things, is about equally applicable to a large company, to a new age alternative healing metaphysical system. You can be applying the same thing to both.
I love that you've actually said that, and you're right. We just in this last minute before commercials, if I can squeeze this question in, I wouldn't have never. I love that we broke that down from big vision to system to organizational flow to the details. And then I'm thinking, wow, if I were to think about intuitive healing, to me, I'm like, nope, it's just intuitive. There's no system. But what I'm hearing you say it like this, I kind of can envision it now. So I love that you said it's equally applicable to the business person, right down to spiritual healing.
When I teach my psychic development class, and I've been teaching a psychic development class for over 25 years now, and I've taught it all through the U.S. and Europe. And when I teach my psychic development course, the first things I do is I explain the things that they have to have an intellectual, critical thinking skill understanding of so that they can best support and promote their intuitive, and then understand that psychic is like a muscle, and the more you work with it, the better you get. But if you as a body, if you wanted to go in and win a bodybuilding contest.
Anyway, this is so exciting. That commercial stuck up regardless. Be right back with that second chunk of training.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this, she even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we are back. I'm excited to hear about this next chunk of training. And just before we went to commercial there, I really did want to highlight that anybody who is thinking about even developing like their psychic ability, like you said, or intuitive healing of sort, there is a system and a flow and training that can be done with that as well. It's just not all, you know, freelancing. Like there's a way that can help you do this. And you are somebody who has taught this, as you said, Europe too. Wow, you've been everywhere.
Not quite everywhere, but, you know, I ain't dead yet.
Right.
So, but I did want to finish that statement, which is, you know, like I teach my students, psychic is like a muscle. And, you know, and the more you work with it, the more it develops. But just like a bodybuilder, if you wanted to go out and be a champion bodybuilder, you wouldn't go in and do one or two arm curls and a couple of leg raises and then decide you're going to, you know, do a power lift. You would have a program. You would have a training program. And that training program, and this is that goes right into the next thing I want to talk about training, would be geared based on what are the results, which we talked about in the first segment. You know, what is it, you know, like what are the critical thinking skills of the company? How does the company think? How does the organization think? How does the individual think? What is the ultimate goal? What's the vision? What's the mission? What's the vision statement? What's the mission statement? All of these different things. But then it has to be somewhat tailored to the individual. If somebody is going to go, you know, and their goal is to run a triathlon, then they have to do swimming and biking and running, and they have to make sure that they don't shoot all of their energy in swimming and then not be able to do the biking and the running. And they have to manage their body, and there are certain muscle groups they have to develop, and there are certain places they want to do. But then you also have to start with the raw material. So what kind of body does that person have? What kind of metabolism? What do they get for food? What do they get for sleep patterns? How do you, you know, these are the same things, whether you're teaching psychic development or a hands-on healing system like Wei Qi, which is actually one that I developed based on my book, The Lost Steps of Reiki. Or if it is corporate training.
Can you repeat the name of that book? That sounds exciting. I want to read that book. Is it the Last or the Lost Steps of Reiki?
The Lost Steps of Reiki. And The Lost Steps of Reiki was a book that came out actually in 1995. It is through the voice of Wei Qi, who lived 5,000 years ago in Tibet. What we would call Tibet today, and talked about that in the Tibetan monasteries for thousands of years, there was a longer system which had some of the components we associate with Reiki, but it was a longer, larger system that is defined as the process of empowering one to heal oneself. If people go to mydrkevin.com, that's mydrkevin, mydrkevin.com, and you poke around my site, you can find all my different books and my spiritual stuff and my business stuff and my ADHD stuff and my inspirational, motivational stuff. Because I have, between ebooks and regular books, I have like over a dozen books out now. And they're on a wide variety of topics. Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot to sit down and write that out. And these are like, I'm going to look at this already. Like, they're probably like training manuals, because just the way your brain seems to operate and how you like to share with others, how it sounds like every one of them would be like a fantastic read just to help everybody, like you said, find within themselves how to do what they want to do.
So then, you know, the next thing, and this is what I teach when I do teacher trainings, because I will teach people how to teach. It's one of the things I do, especially if people are trying to learn some of my specific things. Things like my method for ADD or my method for Wei Qi or things like this. But when you are a trainer, part of what you are is a teacher. I mean, obviously, sometimes people would say that they're interchangeable. It's just the subject matter that changes. And one of the things you want to understand is not everybody is the same kind of learner. So like when I am teaching my trainers or my teachers to do stuff, I want to talk to them about how do I communicate this material in multiple learning formats. One of my irritants for a very long time, especially when I was in the corporate world, because I was in the corporate world for about 12 years before I left the corporate world and then created my own business. And one of my pet peeves was you had somebody that was making 50 or 75,000 or more a year that was some mid-level manager, they would expect the people that were making minimum wage to learn in the only way they knew how to teach or train information. Like it's the $8 an hour or $9 an hour job to figure out whatever you meant to put it in a language I can do. And when I would go in and do some consulting with larger companies, I would be like, okay, first of all, if you're getting paid $50,000 a year or $75,000 a year or $100,000 a year, you need to learn how to communicate in all kinds of formats, because you're getting paid the big bucks. These people that are getting paid $9 an hour, if they're failing, it's your failure, not theirs.
Right.
I say the same thing about the education system. Children don't fail. The education system fails.
Oh, yeah.
We fail our children when we don't work in a way in which gets them. And I'm not blaming teachers on this. I do want to say that. I know some fabulous, wonderful teachers that do an awful lot of everything that they can possibly do to try to teach a child, but they're held accountable to systems and rules and laws made by people who could be, their pictures could be in the dictionary under the word clueless, that are making some of these laws. And, you know, what I always call the child, every child left behind act, because that's what it was. No child was served by that law. So when you go back to training, though, when you know what the goal is, and then what is the value, the languaging, the ideology, what is the result, and how does the company want to get you there? Then you know what you need to teach, and you know what critical thinking skills you want to develop within somebody. And then the thing is, how do I do it in the easiest way, and sometimes the most fun way, that somebody can do it? Why should training be painful? Why should training be boring? Why can't training be fun? Why can't brains love to learn? If you are teaching a brain and you get it excited and engaged, it will enjoy the process.
Yeah. Well, actually, Dr. Kevin, I do have a question about that. I have a couple friends that say, I can't do audios. I can't just listen but I need to see. And then other people say, I need to do the opposite. Now, first of all, my question would be can one person always be stronger in one, or maybe they're stronger in two, or do some people need two or three ways of training? How do we identify the best way for ourselves to learn and be trained in that fun way that we like and get?
Well, first of all, we have the fact that traditionally we think of three major learning styles. We think of that people are either audio, or they're visual, or they're kinesthetic. Audio, obviously, is they're listening. Visual is they're seeing. Kinesthetic means that they're interacting with it. So a really well-developed educational program or training will have all three interwoven in it in a way that's going to allow, no matter what your style is, it is being covered. I mean, that's the way to do it. Now, when you get into learning styles and ADD and ADHD, I've come up with a different kind of hybrid system, but this is not a show. I'm not on here to talk about all my ADD work and findings. So but I'm just saying, but traditionally audio, visual, kinesthetic. And so you have to look at that and say, okay, so how do I make this audio or visual, audio and visual and kinesthetic? And you can make it all three.
Okay. Okay, so anybody out there who's creating a training program, this is the best way to at least get it out there so other people can get something from it and enjoy it, like you said. Because I think that there's got to be something connected there. If you're enjoying it, it's going to help maybe somebody get there a little faster and polish those skills.
It depends on the individual. And you know what? Different people have different things that reward them. You know, not everybody thinks that a star on the forehead is a reward. Not everybody, it depends. Money is not always a reward to all people. Sometimes, so this is getting to know your individual. And of course, the big issue with training, or the big pushback that's always been by corporate, is, well, we have too many people and, we don't have time and energy to do this type of stuff. But, the thing is, people fall into pretty identifiable groups. And if you're not creating 1,000 of them, you could create 3 or 4 maybe that would hit just about everybody, at least enough to set them up for success, instead of what we do so often, which is set people up for failure. And then the other thing is don't have unreasonable expectations. You know, you have to look. And, you know, the thing is, at this point, I mean, I've trained at all levels. I've trained the person that was on the kitchen, was on the prep board in a kitchen. And I've trained managers how to be managers. And I've trained, you know, gifted intuitives how to be psychics. And I've trained, you know, somebody that has, you know, is a gifted, you know, gifted in healing how to be a healer. And I've trained...
And a sneak up commercial and loving all these groups of training. Back to setting up for success.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
We are speaking with Dr. Kevin, and he is totally enlightening me even more than I thought I could be about training. And I want to say a thank you right now, because even just talking about, like, breaking down the process of training is helping me to identify each stage where maybe even I myself could be better trained or train others. And also I want to let you know and thank you again that to remind me that training to me right now is feeling like training gives you possibilities. Training opens doors to something. Say somebody is listening right now and they're kind of having a lull in their world, or they're struggling with getting to the next level of maybe their career or where they're working or what they're doing. And maybe they just need a little training, but they've been kind of held back because it's not fun or it's hard. But I'm hoping that the listeners are really hearing all the different areas. So maybe there's just one particular area there, or maybe they, like you said, it lies on the teacher or the trainer. It's their failure too. And that they could seek the right trainer for them to work with how they are learning. So I want to thank you for all that, because I'm just blown away by, I didn't know how much more I could learn about training here, and I really am feeling like an abundance of knowledge here.
But part of it is that the first thing you have to do is, from when you're dealing with the actual person you're training, is engage. It's engaging them. It's not trying to force feed them. It's not trying to... What can I do to engage that brain? What can I do to engage that mind? How can I make it fun? Build a little rapport. You know, we talk, and one of the things I've trained is salesmen. I was a sales training manager for American Express. I was a chief strategy officer and part of what I did was train all the salespeople how to be salespeople and how to sell the product. And I've done these different jobs, and we will tell somebody who is networking or, doing out there doing sales, that, you know, build a rapport and, you know, some with the person. Well, you're selling somebody when you're training them. You're selling them on an idea that this is something that they want to do. And you can't, and I watch this, you can't expect that people are going to buy in if you're shoving it down their throat. This is the way to do it. And if you don't do it this way, then, you know, they'll be, you know, they'll be held to pay. You know, you'll get written up or you won't get a raise. Yeah, no. And in this day and age, with this latest generation entering the workplace, they get motivated completely different than they did when I entered the workplace. It's a whole different, thing. And you can take stuff which people think is as complicated, and you can turn it into a game. And I'm going to give you an example of that. So one of the things that years ago I was asked to teach, and again, we're going now more on the spiritual, metaphysical side instead of the business side, but it's still all teaching training, was astrology. And I was like, yeah, I can teach astrology. I've done astrology for years, and, you know. But I knew that part of it was that there's just a lot of, like, detail-y stuff about astrology that sometimes intimidates people. And information without application is useless. And that's one of the things I live by. If somebody is giving somebody a piece of information and they don't know how to apply it, if they don't apply it, then you've wasted their time and your time. And so I actually created a game. I created a game that after we went through some of the more, you know, like intellectual, like trying to understand what our house is and what our signs and, you know, but, you know, planets and you know, and astrology is huge if you're really trying to learn it. There are people who spend their whole life, and I'm never going to be that person because my brain will never focus on one thing for my whole life, no matter what it is.
Right.
again, ADD, ADHD poster child here. But I created a game where I actually, with their own charts, created a game where we could have fun and there could be laughter, and they could learn through role-playing and dramatics about their chart. So there's just an example. It's an example. You can take stuff and you can do it in a number of different ways. And that's about you being creative. And again, it's a fallacy because somebody is good at doing something that they're going to be good at training. If you have somebody who is very logical, analytic, very, you know, left-brained, and they're trying to teach somebody who's very right-brained, it's probably going to be a disaster. Yeah. One of the things I work with on, and one of the things I work on with any of my teachers and trainers, students that do like higher level work with me, of any kind, is I do things with them so that they can break the barrier between the left and right brain.
Oh,
because the most powerful people in the most powerful people in the world can jump moment for moment from left to right brain and back again by what is most appropriate in that moment.
That is fascinating, actually. And do you, did you just say that you just people can do that, or is there a way that you help to train people to do that?
I help train people to do that are teachers, that people that want to teach or train my systems or work with me or stuff like this. But yeah, I train people how to do that. So,
okay,
so
I was going to ask, just because I don't want to run out of time before we get to say this, that if somebody is really connecting, they're like, wow, Dr. Kevin is this, he really understands how to train people, and I think I'm interested in being trained by Dr. Kevin. How do they get the hold of you? How do they get in touch with you to find out, hey, I think you're my next teacher?
Okay, so there's a couple of different ways. One is they can email me at Dr. Kevin, D-R-K-E-V-I-N, at mydrkevin, mydrkevin.com. So they can do it there. They can check me out at My Dr. Kevin YouTube. They can check me out. So again, everything is mydrkevin. So they can catch up with me on my Facebook fan page, My Dr. Kevin, Pinterest, My Dr. Kevin, Tumblr, My Dr. Kevin, LinkedIn, My
wow.
Dr. Kevin, Twitter, My Dr. Kevin, Dr. Kevin at My Dr. Kevin. I sent you an email when you said, could you ask me what you called me? I said, Dr. Kevin, it's the branding.
Right, right.
You can remember My Dr. Kevin. You can find me, MyDrKevin. You can find me. I also do have two different weekly TV shows that I do on top of a radio show that I do here on OWN Times, 8 o'clock. 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I have a live call-in show on OWN Times. And then I also have a TV show called Web of Light, and you can go to YouTube and go to My Dr. Kevin, and you can find it all there. It's actually it's a national show now.
Wow.
It's been picked up by Web public access channels from Maine to California.
Wow.
And it's about people who are weaving a web of light in the world.
Actually, yes, I can't wait to watch that.
Yep. So you can, if you put in Web of Light and Dr. Kevin, you will find that channel. I have another TV show that I started recently that the station actually wanted me to do. It's a heart project. It's called Dragons, Unicorns, and Other Creative Creatures. And it's about promoting, supporting, and highlighting the arts and artists.
Oh, wow. That's the best name ever, by the way.
Thanks. Because my TV show goes out to 2 to 3 million people a week through social media platforms and stuff, and then whatever it's picked up on the TVs as well. So I don't know, because you can't get demographics through public access, but I know that it's on channels from Maine to California now. But the station, when I'd gotten it when my show is doing so well and getting picked up in so many different places, they asked me if I'd ever think about doing another show. And I was like, yeah. I said, I want to do a show about artists. And that, and it just popped in my head, Dragons, Unicorns, and Other Creative Creatures. So.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That is the perfect name that will attract an artist. And you know what? I want to congratulate you just for putting yourself out there to do these shows, because really you doing these shows is your way of being able to enjoy your skills and your passion to train others, to teach them, and that you really are helping people. I mean, you've helped me in this hour. My head's going crazy, which I'm so excited about. But I really am so excited that I was able to get you on my show. Woo-hoo! And I just said right there, which when you said, I love what you said, information without application is useless. And I really appreciate you sharing that with the listeners right now, especially myself, because there is so much information out there that really is useless. And if we will, everyone in their lives will need to start putting to use, that's when it changes their lives. And if you want to have any closing remark on that, because everything you have to say is so valuable, anything you want to say just before we close out here, I'd love to hear the closing of this training out of the box way. Oh, my goodness.
And
Dr. Kevin. Dr. Kevin.
Bye.
Thank you so much.